Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Slaughterhouse Animals and State Statutes Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 23, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in National Meat Association v. Harris. The question in this case was whether the Federal Meat Inspection Act, or FMIA, preempts a California statute prescribing what slaughterhouses must do with pigs that are unable to walk. The lower court determined that the state statute did not regulate the inspection or slaughtering process itself, and therefore was not preempted by the FMIA. In an opinion delivered by Justice Kagan, the Supreme Court unanimously voted to reverse the decision of the lower court, holding that the FMIA does indeed preempt the California statute at issue. To discuss the case, we have John Ohlendorf, who is an Olin Cyril Smith Fellow at Law at Northwestern University School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Ohlendorf.
Well, this Monday, the Supreme Court handed down its opinion in National Meat Association v. Harris, which is one of several preemption cases that the Supreme Court is hearing this term. In National Meat, Justice Kagan held for unanimous court that the Federal Meat Inspection Act, or FMIA, expressly preempts a California law making it a crime for in-state slaughterhouses to buy, sell, or butcher animals that can't walk, which are known in the industry as non-ambulatory or downer animals. So in 2008, the Humane Society released a video of employees at a California slaughterhouse trying to get non-ambulatory cows to walk by repeatedly shocking them, by dragging them with chains and running into them with forklifts. And in response to the video, California added several provisions to its penal code. And taken together, the provisions make it a crime for in-state slaughterhouses to buy or sell a non-ambulatory animal, to process or butcher a non-ambulatory animal, or drag or push an animal except with a sled-like or wheeled conveyance. Amendments also prohibit a slaughterhouse from holding a non-ambulatory animal without taking immediate action to humanely euthanize it. And non-ambulatory animal is defined to include cattle as well as swine, sheep, and goats. Now, all of the slaughterhouses in California are also subject to the requirements of the Federal Meat Inspection Act, as well as the regulations issued by the Federal Safety and Inspection Service, or FSIS, which is the agency responsible for administering the FMIA. And these regulations establish an elaborate system of inspection to ensure the purity and the wholesomeness of meat that's shipped interstate. And in 1978, the FMIA was also amended to require all covered slaughterhouses to comply with the Humane Methods of Slaughter Act, which prescribes standards for the humane handling and slaughter of animals. And finally, the FMIA includes a preemption clause that provides, and I'll partially quote it, that requirements within the scope of the Act with respect to premises, facilities, and operations of covered slaughterhouses, and which are in addition to or different than those under the Act, may not be imposed by any state. Now, the federal government also reacted to the Humane Society's video by proposing a rule banning the slaughter of non-ambulatory cattle. Now, the concern with cattle is that the inability to stand or walk is a symptom of mad cow disease. But for swine, the inability to walk is usually benign, and it's just due to kind of stress or fatigue from the ride. So for swine, the FSIS opted to leave the existing regulatory scheme unchanged. And under that scheme, swine that present as non-ambulatory upon arrival at a slaughterhouse are sorted out by federal inspectors. They're set apart in a separate holding area, and then they're slaughtered separately from the rest of the animals. And after slaughter, the swine's carcass goes through a post-mortem inspection, and if it passes, then the butchered meat from the swine can be processed and sold for human consumption under federal law. And further, the FMIA and FSIS regulations also govern the humane handling, specifically of non-ambulatory swine. For example, they provide that the non-ambulatory animals can only be moved by suitable equipment, although the FSIS has interpreted this to include more equipment than California's law allows. So shortly before the California amendments were to take effect, National Meat Association, which is just a trade association representing processors and packers of swine and pork products, sued California in federal district court to enjoin the application of the amendments insofar as they dealt with swine. And the district court held that the law did fall within the FMIA's preemption clause and enjoined the law's enforcement. California appealed, and the Ninth Circuit reversed. In reversing, the Ninth Circuit relied on a Fifth Circuit case, Empacadora de Carnes de Fresnillo v. Curry, and a Seventh Circuit case, Cavell versus Madigan, both of which dealt with state bans on the butchering of horses. And both Cavell and Empacadora concluded that the FMIA preempts meat inspection and labeling laws, but doesn't prevent a state from deciding what types of animals may be butchered and sold. So as Judge Posner put it, writing in Cavell, if horse meat is produced for human consumption, then its production must comply with the FMIA. But if horse meat isn't produced at all, then there simply isn't anything for the FMIA to apply to, so to speak. So similarly, the Ninth Circuit here reasoned that the California had just prohibited the butchering and sale of a type of swine, hogs that couldn't walk, and that wasn't preempted by the FMIA. And the Ninth Circuit supported this kind of narrow interpretation of the preemption clause by applying the traditional presumption against preemption of matters historically regulated by the states. Now, the Supreme Court reversed. So recall that the FMIA's preemption clause prevents states from imposing requirements that are within the scope of the FMIA with respect to slaughterhouse premises, facilities, or operations, and in addition to or different from federal rules. Now, the respondents, the state of California and the Humane Society, which had intervened below, advanced essentially two arguments. First, they argued that the law was not within the scope of the FMIA, because it was based on California's moral judgment that certain types of animals shouldn't be eaten. And they also argued that because the Federal Humane Methods of Slaughter Act was codified in a separate chapter of the U.S. Code, it actually wasn't part of the FMIA's preemptive scope. And second, respondents argued that the law didn't concern slaughterhouse premises, facilities, or operations. And they did this by defining operations pretty narrowly as just the process of turning those animals that are presented for slaughter into meat. And so they argued that the California law just removed non-ambulatory swine from this category. Well, the Supreme Court was unconvinced. Justice Kagan noted that the California law required different or additional actions from slaughterhouses at every turn. For example, where federal law required slaughterhouses to set non-ambulatory swine apart and hold them and butcher them separately, California required them to be immediately euthanized. And further, the court rejected respondents' argument that the FMIA was agnostic as to what types of animals could be butchered. And the court noted that the act itself excludes some classes of animals from slaughter, including some types of diseased swine. And the court specifically held that the humane treatment provisions were a part of the preemptive scope of the act. And the court rejected respondents' narrow interpretation of slaughterhouse operations, noting that the FMIA scope includes not only animals that are going to be turned into meat, but animals on a slaughterhouse's premises that will never suffer that fate. So the court held that the California's law was concerning the operations of slaughterhouses. The court also held that the California prohibitions on purchase and sale were expressly preempted. And the court's discussion of sale is the most interesting because its reasoning here is a little bit more opaque. Now, respondents had made a pretty strong case below that the sale of meat was outside the scope of the FMIA, which was only concerned with turning swine into meat and wasn't concerned with what happened to the end product after it was produced. Now, the court seemed to feel the force of this argument, but it nevertheless concluded that even if prohibition on the sale of meat from non-ambulatory swine was facially outside the FMIA scope, its effect was to accomplish by other means the objectives of the other parts of the act, which more obviously applied to slaughterhouse operations. So essentially, the court reasoned that allowing California's sale prohibitions to survive would be to allow an end run around the FMIA's preemption clause. Now, I'd like to end by saying a few words about the implications of the case. Now, the court's opinion is deliberately quite narrow. It's a good exemplar, I think, of kind of the Roberts Court's effort to forge consensus around spare, tightly reasoned opinion. So, for example, when the court first granted cert in the case, some preemption scholars had suspected that the court might use it to cabin the presumption against preemption, at least insofar as the presumption is used in express preemption cases to narrow the interpretation of an express preemption clause. Justices Roberts, Scalia, Thomas, and Alito have all called for abandoning the presumption against preemption in express preemption cases, and last term in Pleva versus Mensing, and before that in Altria Group versus Good. But Justice Kagan's opinion in National Meat prescinds from that entire debate, and she doesn't even mention the presumption against preemption. But I think National Meat does have some possible implications for state laws regulating humane animal treatment or state laws barring the slaughter of certain types of animals. So with respect to humane treatment, the court did unequivocally hold that the FMIA's requirements related to humane methods of slaughter were a part of the preemptive scope of the statute. So I think future challenges to state laws regulating humane slaughter state laws that are different or additional to federal law, I think challenges to those laws can draw quite a bit of support from national means. Now, concerning laws prohibiting the slaughter of particular types of animals, and these are like the laws that were issued in Pacadora and Cavell, I think national meat leaves the landscape less than clear. So Justice Kagan's opinion is careful to express no views on those two cases, but I think the implications of national meat might call them into question. So National Meat rejected respondents' argument that California's law survived preemption by simply withdrawing certain types of animals from the category of animals that can be turned into meat. And the court noted that the FMIA also regulates animals not destined for slaughter that are on slaughterhouse premises. Now, the court did suggest one difference between a ban on slaughtering non-ambulatory swine and a ban on slaughtering horses, because many non-ambulatory swine can't be identified until they show up at the slaughterhouse. Sorting hogs that can walk from hogs that can't inevitably takes place on the slaughterhouse premises, bringing it within the FMIA scope. Now, horses and non-horses, on the other hand, are pretty easily sorted. You know, a horse is a horse, of course, so no horses need ever show up at the slaughterhouse door. But I want to end by suggesting that this attempt by Justice Kagan to leave some room for Empacadora and Cavell is in, I think, a little bit of tension with her reasoning concerning California's prohibition on sale. So that provision, recall, the court concluded was preempted because it was an attempted end run around the preemption clause, even though it wasn't strictly a regulation respecting slaughterhouse premises or operation. And similarly, I think one might argue that a prohibition on butchering horses that operates at one remove away from the slaughterhouse door, so to speak, is still, it's just an attempted end run around the preemption clause. It's a different way of accomplishing what is essentially a regulation of the slaughterhouse's operations. So I think the future of Empacadora and Cavell is unclear.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.